Off the Ball, GAA.
He makes really, really good decisions and he executes under pressure. So like that's what Limerick have lost, is probably the best goalie in the country from 2024, All-Star.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Yes, you are very welcome along to Off the Ball Sunday here on Newstalk. Shane Hannan with you through until 7 p.m. and loads to come in the next 6 hours of sport with you. We will have two live games, live and exclusive in the Premier League this afternoon. Up first, Manchester United against Bournemouth from Old Trafford. Nathan Murphy will be alongside Brian Kerr for that game. And then 4:30, it's Tottenham Hotspur against high-flying Liverpool. Stephen Doyle will be joined by the former Irish international midfielder Keith Tracy for commentary duty on that game. The Sunday paper review is already in the books. We recorded it earlier this morning. Grace Davitt, the former Irish international rugby player, and Cathal Dennehy, the freelance sports journalist, joined myself in studio. And there was plenty to talk into in terms of the topics in the Sunday paper review today, including Leinster's dominance in the Champions Cup. And of course, the existential question as well in the Champions Cup and whether the format should be up for discussion once again. A nice piece as well on halftime team talks and their influence in sport as well. And a lovely interview with Rashida Adeleke with Michael Foley in the Sunday Times as well. And a piece on Luke Littler in the darts. We'll get to the darts in just a second. Anne-Marie Donlan is with me in studio. Good afternoon, Anne-Marie.
Hi, Shane. How are things?
Keeping well. For the people who are listening on radio, which is all of you, I'm sitting in my Christmas jumper. Very festive, very seasonal. It says ho, ho, ho. It's got reindeer. It's got Santa presents. And you didn't get the memo.
No, I didn't. I'm not too festive. I'm in a regular outfit that I would wear all the rest of the year. Yeah, getting close now. There's a kind of a nice atmosphere around town. I'd say it's kind of 50% excitement and then 50% panic. Some people walking up and down Grafton Street looking for some inspiration. But yeah, not long to go now.
I said this on Off the Ball Breakfast on Friday morning. There's nothing more overstimulating than being in a shop around Christmas. The pub is one thing. You can get to the bar, finally get your pint, and then you can relax a bit. But being in the shops,
it just feels like it will never end.
It's tension. Yeah, you don't know what to get either. So there's panic. But look, I'll try and get all my bits.
Big Christmas
tomorrow
in your house, isn't it?
First Christmas.
Baby's first Christmas. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Little Luna will have hopefully Santa arriving on.
You're going to get her a Lego space rocket or something?
Of course. Well, hopefully Santa does get her a Lego rocket.
Yeah.
I'll get her a couple of presents as well.
Yeah.
No doubt. But inevitably, babies end up playing with the wrapping paper. So
yeah,
you spend money on presents and then they're like, I'll take that. So yeah. It's an exciting Christmas.
Oh, we'll
get
enjoy
a Manchester United jersey as well, possibly. I know that will be popular with yourself, Anne-Marie, but
she
has a small Monaghan jersey already.
A lifetime of misery on her there.
I know, of course.
Oh, she has a little Monaghan kit.
She has a little Monaghan kit.
Oh, that would be lovely next summer.
So that'll be nice.
Is her mum Monaghan?
Yeah, she's full Monaghan.
All right, so no divided loyalties.
No divided loyalties. A Galway grandfather, so at least There's some hope of success, an All-Ireland possibly as well. Nathan Murphy is, as I said, going to be joined by Brian Kerr for commentary of Manchester United versus Bournemouth this afternoon. Nathan is on the line. Good afternoon, Nathan.
How are you?
Keep well. Are you wearing your Christmas jumper or no?
No Christmas jumper just yet, but, very much in the festive spirit.
Just yet suggests you're going to change at some point this afternoon, or maybe you mean
quite
in the coming
possibly,
days.
Possibly, quite possibly. Well, listen, when you're sitting down watching the darts of a Sunday evening, you kind of... That's as festive as it gets, isn't it? You get the box of chocolates out, you get the Christmas jumper on, and you basically act like a bit of a slob over the next couple of nights. So, yeah, happy Christmas, everybody.
Happy Christmas, and to all listening as well. I know you're a darts... Oh, is convert the right word? You're always into the darts.
No, I was always a Christmas darts man, whereas I've become a 12-month of the year...
fanatic.
...darts man. And I was getting updates from one of my children throughout the evening on the brilliance of Luke Littler... Last night I was properly in the festive spirit. Last night I was at a gig in a beautiful place called Orla House up in the Dublin Mountains with Glenn Hansard and Damien Rice and Shane McGowan's wife singing Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh, wow.
I think the first time she'd ever sang it, she said. So it was a beautiful thing, and I missed the brilliance of Luke Littner, but by all accounts he has set the bar pretty high.
That's very, very special way to spend an evening, Nathan, in fairness. Very Christmassy.
Mm. Yeah, did you have to be invited to this gig? Sounds pretty exclusive.
It was a very small... I think it was only about 100 people there, but no, I bought my tickets, Anne-Marie.
Okay.
No freebies around here. Not to say I wouldn't take them, of course, but I stumped up my hard-earned cash, and It was well worth it.
And did you sing along in Fairy Tale of New York?
Of course. Yeah. No, just to myself in the area. I didn't like rush the stage or anything like that.
Not quite, yeah.
That wouldn't be like you.
There's a lovely piece on Luke Littler in the Irish Mail on Sunday today as well, just talking about the whirlwind year he's had, the fact that he had, less than 4,000 Instagram followers this time last year. He's over 1 million now, and the money he's made. He's moved his family from a £180,000 two-bed semi in Cheshire into a five-bed mansion with an indoor swimming pool. So, 17-year-old. And last year, 16-year-old has done good. It's an incredible story. You've had a busy week as well, Nathan. I know you were over at Stamford Bridge for Shamrock Rovers' continued European adventure. Not the result they wanted, but still, it's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, it has, and it's not done yet. They've made history. They're going to be playing European football into the new year. We now know it'll be up against Molde of Norway. And I was just chatting to Brian Kerr off air. You certainly feel at this juncture, the Serbian team on paper would have looked the easier draw. But Molde are not where they were a couple of years ago when they beat Shamrock Rovers twice in the last time Rovers were in the Conference League. And I think Rovers are in a very different position as well. And it's hard to know what will happen because both sides aren't going to play again until that match because both sides have a similar season. So both of them will be coming in as their first game of the season, one of their biggest and most important ones. But the way Rovers played, never mind about Thursday night, but the way they played in the first five games would suggest that they've totally deserved their 10th place finish in the Conference League. Molde finished 23rd. And Thursday night, it's just reinforcing that while Irish football is growing and it's brilliant to see what is happening in the League of Ireland, what happens across the water in the Premier League is of no great relevance footballing-wise because they're just a world apart. Like, that Chelsea team was just ridiculously talented for their second-string team, worth over €250 million, with a couple of academy kids in there as well. And watching somebody like Mark Cucurella, who is possibly in the running for being the best left-back in the world right now with the form he's taken in from winning the European Championship with Spain during the summer to the way he started this season, they were just at a different pace, a different tempo that the Shamrock Rovers couldn't live with. But it was a good thing that there was just the one goal in that second half because we saw what Chelsea have already done in this campaign when they racked up 8 goals in a match. You don't want a night like that. You want to have the experience. They got their goal. Marcus Poom had his moment. The Shamrock Rovers supporters, the over 3,000 that followed them, had their moment. And, to finish on 11 points in a European group stage is something to be incredibly proud of. And we just wait and see what sort of Shamrock Rovers is going to re-emerge in February for the first leg of that playoff.
Yeah, it's amazing. Eamon Sweeney on the back page of the Sunday Independent this morning saying that Rovers' run in Europe is the most underrated Irish sporting achievement of 2024. Like Paul Rowan in the Times, then he talks about the fears of stagnation as well. You look at the likes of Neil Ferrugia, Johnny Kenny, Josh Onahan as well. I know Josh Onahan has maybe a bit left in his contract, but still there's fears that there could be not a mass exodus, but certainly some big names leaving.
Yeah, and I spoke to Johnny Kenny last week and he was saying he's going to take a couple of weeks off and he's definitely going back to Celtic at the beginning of January and will train with Celtic. And his intention, understandably, part of you is talking to Johnny Kenny thinking, well, why would you want to leave this? That, you're contending. He's won one title, he's contending for another title, he's getting this run in Europe, but he's 21 years of age. He's proven himself very quickly to be the best young goal scorer in the league, and he wants to get back and he wants to play at the very highest level. So while we might look at it through League of Ireland eyes and think, well, you're playing first team football here, the form he is in, he's obviously going to be confident he can do something at Celtic. So it looks as though he's gone. Neil Ferrugia's out of contract. All the expectation is that he'll go as well. And they've already brought in, Danny Grant, who was former Young Player of the Year. They'll hope to rejuvenate him. But that's the difficulty, is how do you keep this going? How do you keep progressing when, again, the gulf, never mind to the Premier League, but even to the Championship, to League One, is quite substantial, and players want to make that move to England. They want to get into that pyramid because they know a good season in League One, you can set yourself up for life very quickly if you can get into the Championship and Premier League. So it's going to be a busy few weeks, I suspect, for Stephen Bradley trying to come up with a team that can continue the momentum that is there without two of the three outstanding players of the group stage for them, who are Dylan Watts, who's still there, Neil Ferrugia, who after getting sent off in the first game got better and better and better when he came back in, and then Johnny Kenny, who, his form in the group stage was just ridiculous. And even you saw the threat that he posed against Chelsea and the couple of opportunities that he got. So that is always going to be the difficulty as to how you maintain this and sustain this. But I think Shamrock Rovers fans are probably just going to enjoy it for what it is right now.
Absolutely. Hopefully the journey does continue beyond Mulder. As I said, you're on Manchester United versus Bournemouth. Mm. Judy, today alongside Brian Kerr, you have the team news. And I suppose the big question, well, Garnacho came back onto the squad midweek. But the question from a United perspective is Marcus Rashford back in?
He's not. Mm. Marcus Rashford, once again, left out of the Manchester United squad completely. And he's in the middle of, well, I won't say a tug of war, because I think both sides are probably pulling in the same direction here, that Marcus Rashford is ultimately going to end up leaving Manchester United in January, where it became very clear last week when he was left out of the squad for the derby that they were ready to, I don't even know if cash in is the right word, because will they ever be able to cash in to the way they want with the wages that he's on? Ruben Amorim tried to soften it somewhat, maybe to make sure that they got some of the value of Marcus Rashford, so he's not been dumped out of the club and get rid of him for the cheapest possible fee. But the fact he's not involved again today feels like a very sad situation. And on a personal level, you do feel some sympathy for Marcus Rashford with the way he's publicly being hung out to dry, and that idea that was put out last week of, well, actually, there's a cultural reset needed at Manchester United, and if anybody sums up the cultural issues at United, it's Marcus Rashford. Mm. It's an awful lot to put onto one player. There's been a lot of issues around Manchester United on the pitch, off the pitch over the last few years that have contributed to the position that they find themselves in today, 13th in the Premier League table. None of us with any idea of what sort of performance they're going to put in today. Yeah, Marcus Rashford has been a part of that, but when you think where Marcus Rashford was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when he was not just in the form of his life, but also, I think, what he had been doing off the pitch. This is somebody who should have ended up becoming an icon for Manchester United. And I don't know if the club gave him the best possible platform for that. But in saying all that, you know, I think anyone who's watched Manchester United for the last 18 months can't but have been incredibly frustrated by his level of performance, which is nowhere near his peak. And also, I think, just his general demeanour on the pitch.
Attitude, yeah.
You know, it's highlighted all the time. Look, you can highlight things when you want, of players not jogging back, players not sprinting when you need to. But when a club is in crisis and you're the local boy, and again, everything has been put on your shoulders, you can respond in one or two ways. And he's responded in a way where it looks like he's just shrugged his shoulders and has never looked that bothered. And I think it's inevitable now that he's going to go. You just wonder, where is he? Is he going to go? Where does he end up? And, you know, was that sort of one season where, you know, he scored a lot of goals, was that a bit of a flash in the pan? And, you know, he's had lots of great moments in between, but that level of consistency was, it's feeling more and more like a bit of a one-off.
Yeah, big time. You have the teams for today?
Yeah, I do. So six changes for Manchester United from Thursday night. They obviously brought in a lot of the fringe players, and Ruben Amorim has been making a lot of changes. In a way, it feels like he's allowing everybody hang themselves out to dry in these first few months of, I'm going to give you some game time, prove to me that you deserve to be in this team. And right now, the only two he would feel have really stepped up are Amad Diallo and Bruno Fernandes. And the two of them, with the opportunities that they're creating, give Manchester United a chance to score goals. And obviously they did it last week in very dramatic circumstances. That win in the Manchester derby means today they could, for the first time this season, win back-to-back Premier League games. And here we are a couple of days before Christmas. They've just been so inconsistent. Goalkeeping problems again in midweek. So Andre Onana is back in goals. The back three will be Nusser Mazraoui, Harry Maguire and Lisandro Martinez. Diogo Dalo and Tiro Malassi will play on the wings, with Kobbie Mainoo and Manuel Ugarte in the middle. And then it'll be Diallo and Fernandes in behind Joshua Cirkzee. Mason Mount is out injured. Matthijs de Ligt is ill, so he's not in the squad either for Manchester United. Bournemouth are having a really, really good season, and they could move up to as high as fifth in the table with a win today. They had a draw with Bournemouth on Monday night, but Andoni Iraola has really worked wonders with a team who play good football, create a lot of chances, and he's made one change to that side. Tyler Adams, the American, comes in and plays Lewis Cook. So Kepa is in goals. Their back four is Adam Smith, Ilya Zabarni, Dean Huizen and Milos Kerkez. Tyler Adams and Ryan Christie in the middle of midfield. Dangu Ouattara, Justin Kluivert and Antoine Semenyo in behind Evan Nielsen up top. This time last year, Bournemouth came to Old Trafford and they won by 3-0. And as I say, to be quite honest, I'm sure you'll be asking Brian for a prediction as well. I don't think anyone can say with any great confidence what's going to happen when Manchester United play these days.
Yeah, not a clue. Nathan, thanks a million. We'll check back in again, as you said, with yourself and Brian Kerr, pre-kickoff 2 o'clock kickoff, as we said, for Manchester United versus Bournemouth. Anne-Marie, we have a few other games kicking off at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that Manchester United game is one of four early games, so a busy afternoon in the Premier League. Leicester City host Wolves, that is also at 2 o'clock, and Adam Diori is at the King Power Stadium.
New Wolves boss Vitor Pereira has a huge job at his hands. Tasked with steadying a volatile ship that's produced some unsavoury scenes in recent games, he also needs to reduce his side's 5-point deficit from safety. It starts against relegation rivals Leicester, who were soundly beaten by Newcastle in their last outing. A win would see the Foxes go 5 points clear of the drop zone, and with the bottom half of the table so tight, any form of daylight would be welcomed by Ruud van Nistelrooy. It's Leicester City versus Wolves at the King Power Stadium.
Elsewhere then, Everton can do Liverpool a favour if they can get something out of their game against Chelsea, which is at Goodison Park. Here's Shane Pennington.
After gaining a point at Arsenal last time out, and the news this week that their much-awaited takeover from the Free King Group is now complete, is proven to be a very happy Christmas for Everton, who now hope to add further cheer today with a notable win here against the Chelsea side, who continued to go from strength to strength. Enzo Maresca's men can move to the top of the Premier League table, if only for a few hours, with a win here today and put the pressure right back on the red half of Merseyside. And after winning their last seven and going unbeaten in the last ten, the visitors are heavy favourites to get the job done here this afternoon. At Goodison Park, it's Everton and Chelsea.
And the final early game then is Fulham against Southampton. And we can go over to Craven Cottage now, where Joshua Adedonku is.
The first Premier League game since parting ways of Russell Martin sees Southampton take on informed Fulham. Southampton announced a new manager, Ivan Juric, as their new men's first team manager, subject to a work approval. A tough challenge awaits the new coach. No matter what happens today, the Saints will be bottom at Christmas for the first time in their top flight history. They're up against a free-flowing Fulham, who have scored in their last 15 Premier League games. That's the current longest goal-scoring streak in the league. Fulham have lost once in seven Premier League games also. Fulham versus Southampton coming up from Craven Cottage.
And then the main game of the day is in North London. That's as Tottenham entertain Liverpool. Arne Slot's side started the day top of the table, but Chelsea could go above them for a few hours. Liverpool dropped points in their last two league games, draws with Newcastle and Fulham. They do go into this game, though, off the back of a 2-1 win over Southampton in the Carabao Cup. Spurs, meanwhile, beat Manchester United 4-3 in what was a crazy game. Speaking ahead of today's match, Postecoglou was asked if he has been putting entertaining people ahead of getting results.
A big part of our game, that is, about, maybe entertainment's the wrong word, but, you know, yeah, you go to the game, a game of football for, you know, to kind of feel emotions that, you know, maybe in your day-to-day existence you don't get the opportunity to, both, you know, exhilarating and both anxious. And I think football's, that's what we love about it. It's, I've said before, it's, there's a lot of suffering in there when you're watching a football game. But if you come out on the right side, it's an exhilarating feeling.
It was a crazy game. Can you, though, be that gung-ho on Sunday against Liverpool, who are so good?
I'm not sure what you mean by gung-ho. We'll play our football because that's what's winning us games, and that's what we'll do against Liverpool, who are a fantastic side, going really well. And he's come in. It's not easy when you're taking over from, you know, somebody of the status of a Jurgen Klopp, but you know they're very settled as a team. We've got quality within the starting 11, within the squad, and they've dealt with things. You saw them last week, and with a man down, they still, you know, have real belief at the moment. So they're the standout team in the competition so far. But again, on our day when we play our football, we're a pretty good opposition.
That's Spurs manager Ange Postecoglou there, and kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is at 4:30.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. That's our second live commentary game here on Off the Ball on News Talk this afternoon. Keith Tracy will be alongside Stephen Doyle for that one. It was a good day and a bad day, I suppose, in some ways for Mikel Arteta yesterday, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, the Arsenal boss Arteta said he was very worried Bukayo Saka may have suffered a serious injury in their 5-1 Premier League victory over Crystal Palace last evening. The impressive win means the Gunners are third and remain right in that title race, but it may have come at a cost. The winger left Selhurst Park on crutches.
Did you watch the boxing last night, Fury and Usyk?
I did, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a better fight than May. It was just so intriguing. It was so enthralling. It was brilliant. Andy Lee in the build-up had said that it was the best he had seen Tyson Fury prepared for a fight, that their gym session on Thursday was the best he had ever seen him. And I don't think he was exaggerating there. Fury looked so, so much better than he did back in the summer when he lost to Usyk the first time. He looked so much more well-conditioned. He looked sharper. He looked fitter. He was brilliant. And I thought it was a pretty level fight, but Usyk was just relentless. He was like a dog, like he could have gone for four or five more rounds. He was absolutely brilliant. And towards the end, we were just kind of waiting for Fury to knock it, but he didn't. And it was just brilliant, like the anticipation that built up throughout the 12 rounds. It was just so, so good. But yeah, it was brilliant. I think the judges only gave Fury four rounds out of the 12. I think that was maybe a little harsh. Like, I don't think Fury, in anyone's opinion, won the fight. But I think it maybe was ever so slightly closer than that. But it was brilliant. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant entertainment. And Usyk now has kind of marked himself down as probably the greatest of his generation anyways. It doesn't look like they'll fight again anyways. I can't see the trilogy happening. Although maybe because it was such a good fight, they might go again. But it kind of opens the door as well for Fury AJ, which we all want to see. So, yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Really good night.
Interesting. We can hear from Tyson Fury as well.
Yeah, we can. He says he'll always believe that he beat Alexander Usyk after losing that rematch in Saudi Arabia last night. After a split decision in May, the judges last night handed victory to Usyk on a unanimous points decision. All three judges scored the fight 116 to 112 in Usyk's favour. Fury called their judgment a Christmas gift for the Ukrainian.
I thought I've won both fights, but then again, I've gone home with two losses on my record now, so there's not much I can do about it. I can just fight my heart out and do the best I can. But again, I'll always believe until the day I die, I won that fight. Aggressive on the back foot. I was on the front foot all night, yeah. Landing body and head. Listen, sometimes it's hard to score. Frank had me three or four rounds up. A lot of people had me at least two. I just don't know. Listen, it's it is what it is. I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. It's happened now. I know boxing, been in it all my life. You can't change no decisions. But I'll just always feel a little bit hard done by. Not a little bit, actually a lot. But I think when you don't get the knockout, this is what happens. You can't guarantee a win.
No crying over spilled milk, but I feel a lot hard done by.
Yeah. Obviously, Tyson Fury is no spring chicken anymore, but I just don't see him being able to retire. Like he can't walk away from it. And we know as well his mental health issues. He uses boxing as a distraction, you know, like when he goes into camp and that extreme lifestyle that he lives. I think he'll find it so hard to retire. I think we'll see him back again.
There is action in Scotland in the football.
Yeah, there is ongoing at the moment. And in the Scottish Premiership, Celtic are looking to extend their lead at the top of the table. Their way to Dundee United. It is scoreless there, though, after 66 minutes of play. A win here for Brendan Rodgers' side would take them 11 points clear of second placed Rangers. Leinster, meanwhile, maintained their unbeaten start to the United Rugby Championship last night. They survived a late onslaught to get past rivals Connacht. 20 points to 12 was the final score at the Aviva Stadium. It leaves the Blues 11 points clear of Glasgow at the top of that table, while the Westerners remain just outside the European places. The post-match reaction was dominated by Mac Hansen's comments. The Connacht winger was extremely critical of the officiating, going as far as calling it BS at one stage. We can hear from him now.
I feel like we get this every week. We never get any calls, ever. I've been feeling this for years now. Like, you can't possibly tell me yourself sitting there, like, checking the Gus McCarthy one. How much did they check that? 10, 11 times? Bundy gets a direct hit to the head. It's quite obvious. No call. Doesn't care. It's like, we get that every time. So I don't know if you can hear the frustration in my voice, because it's starting to get to the point where it's starting to get really frustrating for us, because, you know, people will say we're an inconsistent team, but just cross, when you're getting some of the calls we're getting, like, of course you're going to be. And as I said, we're not making excuses by any means, but, like, when you just get it week after week, I feel it's got to be spoken about now, because we just felt like we're getting played out of games. And we never, ever get any calls. Didn't even look back at it. And then Josh goes off with a direct hit to the head again. And I was talking to Touchy. He goes, oh, well, when you're tackling, you lead with the head. What? That doesn't make any sense. That's a penalty, regardless. So he's actually said he's hit him in the head with his head, but because he was bent over, it was fine or something like that. When he smacked him in the back of the head with his head, and no call at all, not even a look back. Like, we get that every time. So he'd be in a tough situation if he says it, but like, I feel like we need, like, just needs to be said. Like,
Connacht's Mac Hansen,
very
not
frustrated,
happy.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing. We are so used to the conditioned, mundane, generic
answers,
robotic,
yeah,
AI responses of sports people. And that to hear a sports person actually say, do you know what, I'm actually just going to tell you what
I
think.
Yeah, there's something
here,
refreshing in it. Now, obviously, those who were officiating will have their right to reply.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
But there is something refreshing in the fact he said that. And with his head coach sitting beside him as well, he asked, can I just come in here? Can I just say something? And he had his soliloquy ready. So, yeah, no, it is refreshing.
Pete Wilkins couldn't say no. As soon as Mac Hansen in front of the media says, do you mind if I say something? He can't say no. No,
deny us.
You can't talk. But yeah, fair play to Mac Hansen for speaking up, I guess. But it's just, yeah, it's refreshing to hear a sports person giving out, I guess, and just saying what they actually really feel rather than the usual platitudes and cliches, etc., etc. While we're on rugby, I should mention Off the Ball are coming to the 3 Olympia this January 29th. It's Owen Sheehan along with Brian O'Driscoll and Austin Healy, Ireland star Aoife Wafer, Munster legend and OTB's own Alan Quinlan, as well as the dream team of Andy Dunn and Gerry Thornley, to preview the 2025 Guinness Six Nations, just days out from Ireland's opening game against England in Dublin. We will have match tickets for that game and the home game against France, as well as some other great prizes to give away on the night. Tickets, believe me, are heading very, very soon for sold out. Some, a very small amount, are still available, but don't delay to avoid disappointment. Pick up some tickets for yourself as a Christmas treat, or get a great gift of a brilliant night out for the rugby fan in your life. Tickets are from €23. Go to offtheball.com/events now. It's all with thanks to Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of the Irish rugby team. Never stop competing. Instead of finishing on the darts, Anne-Marie, we should be starting that. We should be talking about the darts for the next 6 hours. But Irish action continues at Ali Pally later today.
That's right. Dylan Slevin's PDC World Darts Championship dream continues later on. The 22-year-old Tipperary man plays in his first ever second round match at Ali Pally. That's against Dimitri Vandenberg. And that's in the evening session, where two-time former champion Gary Anderson also gets his tournament underway. He has a second round matchup with Jeffrey de Graaf. Meanwhile, a tearful Luke Littler made a winning start to his campaign last night, beating Ryan Meikle 3-1. The 17-year-old cut his post-match interview short. That's after he became emotional, while five-time world champion Raymond van Barneveld is out of the competition. He lost 3-1 to Nick Kenny. I think it's dawning on Luke Littler just the impact
what
he has
doing.
Made upon this. Yeah, I thought it was quite funny, the sports person of the year, the BBC sports personality of the year, he won the young sports person and he came second in the overall. And Luke Humphries wasn't nominated, wasn't shortlisted.
After winning the world championship.
After winning it. But Luke Littler has become darts. He is the man. So I think it's kind of dawning on him, you know, the impact he has made.
Yeah, BBC sports personalities become a bit of a joke. Like Ronnie O'Sullivan, who's probably one of the greatest personalities. If you're giving him a personality,
yeah,
he's never won it. And like, you know, it's just when you see some of the personalities that come through, if it is based on personality, I understand Luke Littler being ahead of maybe of Luke Humphries for what he's done with darts, but yeah, it's a bit of a joke. But still, the darts is class, and looking forward to watching it again over Christmas. Anne-Marie, thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Shane.
As per usual, as I said, we have the Sunday paper review as well in the books. Chris Davitt and Cathal Dennehy were in studio with me earlier. You can get that and all of your favourite Off the Ball podcasts available whenever you need them. Special offers on Apple too, or sign up monthly via Spotify. Plus, by just downloading and signing into the Off the Ball app, you will still get to sample how it all works with 3 free podcasts per month on us. If you prefer to watch your Off the Ball fix, become a member on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/offtheball. Remember to sign up on your preferred platform. Subscriptions are not transferable from one platform to another. More detail and handy links at offtheball.com/join, and a special limited time price of only $99.99 for a 1-year membership to the Off the Ball app. That's less than €2 for more than 50 hours of podcasts per week. Loads still to come here on Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk. We're live, as I said, on the air until 7 p.m. this evening. Later on, 4:30, it's Tottenham versus Liverpool live commentary with Keith Tracy joining Stephen Doyle. Up next, though, it's Brian Kerr and Nathan Murphy calling Manchester United versus Bournemouth.
Off the Ball Daily.